Strictly speaking, today, January the 3rd, is the 10th day of Christmas. 10 Lords are leaping, as the song has it. Whereas Epiphany is on January the 6th, Wednesday. But Andrew, our vicar, has asked me to preach on the Epiphany today, which I gladly do. Its full title in the prayer book is Epiphany, or the Manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. Gentile is the Jewish people's word for all who are not Jewish. And the usual gospel reading for Epiphany is the account of the coming of the Gentile wise men from the east to visit the child Jesus, bringing their three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But we had that reading in the carol service. Most of us are very familiar with it. So instead, I'm going to look at some of the teaching in the whole Bible about God's manifestation of himself to those who were not Jewish. Light for the Gentiles. Way back in Genesis, the first book of the 66 books of the Bible, God chose Abraham and his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob to be the ancestors of his special people, who were called at first Hebrews, or Israelites, and later called the Jews. And to the Hebrews, God progressively manifested himself, that is to say, progressively revealed himself down the centuries, as recorded in the Old Testament. Notably, he revealed what he is like and what he wishes of us to Abraham, to Jacob, to the prophets Moses and Samuel, to kings David and Solomon, to prophets Elijah and Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and to 12 minor prophets. But now and then, God's love for those of other nations, Gentiles, is revealed briefly as well. These occasions are like pinpricks of light in the Old Testament, where the blaze of light comes in the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament. We'll come to that later. To begin with, God said of Abraham himself that all nations on earth would be blessed through him, a promise repeated to his son Isaac. Some centuries later, a Hebrew man married a Gentile, a Moabite by birth, named Ruth. And after that man's early death, Ruth had the opportunity to stay in her country of Moab, but she chose instead to go to Judah to care for her widowed mother-in-law, Naomi. This led to Ruth marrying for a second time to another Hebrew named Boaz. We read at the end of the book of Ruth that their great-grandson, the great-grandson of Boaz and Ruth, one David, was chosen by God to be king of Israel, notwithstanding his Gentile Moabite blood. Then in Psalm 72, King David's son, King Solomon, writes of the coming messianic king who will endure through all generations. Solomon was inspired to write of this Messiah, all nations will be blessed through him. Another example of God's care for the Gentiles is his command to the prophet Jonah to go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, a nation who were Israel's enemies, and to call them to repent. Jonah famously ran away in the opposite direction, but after being saved in the belly of a great fish, he obeyed, and God's enemies did indeed repent in response to his preaching. Then in the prophecy of Isaiah, there are passages about a coming servant of the Lord, whom Isaiah said God would call to be a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. These servant passages were passages of prophecy about the coming Messiah, Jesus. In the last book of the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Malachi, God says, "My name will be great among the nations." Turning to the New Testament, Jesus, as I mentioned earlier, was visited as a young child by the Gentile wise men who'd followed the star to find him. When he grew up, most of his 3-year public ministry was to Jewish people. But on one occasion, he left their land for a break. And a Gentile, a Canaanite woman, begged him to deliver her child from an evil spirit. She reminded Jesus that even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Jesus recognized her faith and granted her request. When the Apostle John records Jesus speaking of himself as the Good Shepherd, Jesus referred to having other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. "I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." This was a reference to Gentiles, the other sheep, reference to them being included in the church, all in one flock with the Jewish people, Jewish believers. Then when Jesus was answering the disciples' question about when he would return to the earth, he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." As we heard in our gospel reading, after Jesus' resurrection, he gave his followers what has been called the Great Commission: "Go and make disciples of all nations." The good news of God's saving love was to be taken to everyone, not just to Jewish people, but to all nations. The actual beginning of the sharing of the good news of Jesus, the gospel, with other nations is recorded in Acts chapter 10. This is where the pinpricks turn into a blaze of light. The Apostle Peter received a vision in which he was told to kill and eat animals that Jewish people had been taught were unclean. He protested, "Surely not." But a voice said to him, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision when men sent by a Roman centurion called Cornelius arrived to ask Peter to come to Cornelius's house. For Cornelius too had had a vision in which an angel told him to send for Peter. The Holy Spirit told Peter to go along with the men, which he did. When he arrived, he said to Cornelius, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius told Peter and his companions about his vision of the angel and asked Peter to tell him and those who gathered with him whatever God had told Peter to say. Peter responded, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right." Peter went on to speak of Jesus, of his ministry, of his death, and of his resurrection. and a forgiveness of sins through belief in him. And Acts 10 goes on. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished at the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Peter said, "They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So those Gentiles had clearly entered the kingdom, just as Jewish believers had already done. And Peter went back to Jerusalem and explained all that had happened. The Jewish believers there praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." Soon afterwards in Antioch, in Syria, Christians began to speak to Greeks who were Gentiles, telling them the good news about Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. A little later, during the apostles Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey, the Jews in one town talked abusively about what Paul was saying. And Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord commanded us." They quoted from the prophet Isaiah, words we heard earlier. "I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. And this became a pattern for later missionary work. Paul went first to the synagogue on arrival in a town and preached to the Jewish people. But then if some rejected his message, made things difficult for him, he moved out of the synagogue and began speaking to the Gentiles. Acts records how that happened in Corinth and in Ephesus. Paul referred to what was happening in at least three of his letters in the New Testament. Firstly, in his letter to the Christians at Rome, he wrote, "There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. For," he quoted the prophet Joel, "everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And in the next chapter he writes, "If some of the branches," in other words the Jews, "had been broken off, and you Gentiles, though a wild olive shoot, had been grafted in among the others, do not boast over those branches. They were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith." And secondly, in Paul's letter to the Christians in Galatia, comes that glorious passage, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Greeks, which means Gentiles, slaves and females, were regarded respectively as inferior to Jews, to free men, and to males by some. But Paul affirms that in the kingdom of God, Gentiles, slaves, and women are all equally children of God with Jews, free men, and men through faith in Jesus. That is about equal status in Christ. Equal salvation through him, equal membership of God's kingdom. Paul goes on to make a link with Genesis, where we began today, by writing, "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed." Remember what we heard earlier today. God has said of Abraham, "All nations on earth will be blessed through him. And thirdly, in Paul's letter to the Christians at Ephesus, we heard what he wrote in our reading today. So I won't read it all again. But summing up, he reminds his Gentile readers that whereas they had been without hope, without God in the world, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people. Alleluia. So it's not surprising that when the Apostle John had his vision of what is to come, as he recorded in the book of Revelation, after he'd seen some members of each of the 12 tribes of Israel in heaven, he then saw a countless multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne of God. The Gentiles, us for the most part, the Gentiles have indeed been admitted. Praise God. Alleluia. So this is the good news we have to share with others in this year of 2016. As his followers, we too are commanded by Jesus, go and make disciples of all nations. The Great Commission is our commission too. Amen.